A problem requires an action in order to reach a solution. I know, simple concept that can quickly grow challenging when that problem is allowed to grow and take firm root. That's especially true when that problem impacts people and communities. My next guest, along with his co-author, has reached back into history to bring into today a plan to build a strong future for communities in our nation who feel abandoned. With that feeling, very accurate one, I should say, you can find this path to community restoration in the book Underserved, Harnessing the Principles of Lincoln's Vision for Reconstruction for Today's Forgotten Communities, co-authored by Chris Pilkerton, and my guest, who served in the Trump administration as Deputy Assistant to the President for Domestic Policy, one of the positions with the Office of American Innovation and White House Domestic Policy Council, Jerron Smith. How are you today, Jerron?
I'm doing okay, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Go to the website, underservedbook.com, and you can follow Jerron at X at JerronSmith04. We have those posted over our homepage as well. Even before I get into your book, Jerron, the title kind of clued me into where you and Chris are headed with Underserved, Harnessing the Principles of Lincoln's Vision for Reconstruction. Am I correct in assuming you went into your work seeing a wide divide between problem and solution, that you and Chris hope to find, close that gap and create a bridge in whatever way possible?
That's exactly right. We thought that the work that, or the vision that Lincoln had for all of America, was to deal with underserved communities. You had recently freed slaves, as well as poor white individuals who had to deal in a new world post-slavery. And because of Lincoln's background of working on the prairie, being self-educated, he had a vision for economic empowerment of all people. And so post the freeing of slaves, he wanted to implement infrastructure for opportunity that would allow for everyone to get economic progress and economic empowerment. And since Lincoln's assassination, many politicians have kicked this can down the road. Of course, President Grant was able to pick up the mantle and do some work around Reconstruction that was very intentional. However, the politics even hampered him, and he fell short of kind of being successful with Reconstruction. And so many people say that Reconstruction was a failure. And we've had plenty of attempts to deal with issues of underserved, but some of the recent policies that came out in the 60s actually put more underserved communities behind. And as a result of it, we thought that we needed to follow some of the work we did in the Trump administration, such as Opportunity Zones, such as Safer Communities through the First Step Act, or even making a historic investment into universities so that we can look at, like, vocational education and other things.
I want to just spend another moment with the history, because you, at the beginning, present the, I'll call them, the trinity of Lincoln, Grant, and Frederick Douglass. Is that the foundation, what the answer is today? It's great to have political leadership behind what valuable plans are going to do, but unless you have that person within that underserved community tapping those political leaders on the shoulder saying, no, you're going the wrong way, you want to go this way, nothing's going to get done without that third person.
That's a key component of it. It has to be a ground-up approach, and you have to partner with individuals from civil society. It can't be something that's just implemented by the government. That's why our attempt around Opportunity Zones through the council, on the White House Opportunity and Revitalization Council, we took an opportunity to kind of deal with different communities and figure out what's the best strategy to revitalize those communities. You know, that's what we talk about in underserved. We use a methodology called being intentional. Building trust in the community. So what you talked about with having individuals from the community be a part of any revitalization effort is extremely important, but you can't do that without trust. Once you gain that trust, then you can work on the third part of our methodology, which is partnering and collaboration. Once you have those partnerships and collaborations, you want to produce outcomes and then study what works. And that's the five stages of our methodology that we used in the Trump administration to do things in a bipartisan manner around criminal justice reform, in a bipartisan manner around education and HBCUs, in a bipartisan manner around opportunity zones. And so our holistic response looks at four areas. It looks at economic development and affordability, safe communities and behavioral health, entrepreneurship and wealth creation, and these combine together in a holistic response, meets communities where they're at. And then depending on where that community is located, they may want to start on one part of the strategy to help lift that community up.
As I'm reading underserved, I started thinking back of, as you referenced too, it's easy to say I'm part of the party of Lincoln. Okay, I can open a business and open the door, but if I don't advertise and present what people need, I'm pretty much going to go out of business real fast. No one's going to take me seriously. I thought of how important is it to get out of comfort zones for really both sides, and maybe as the most blatant reference point I could think of when Ronald Reagan was running for president in 79 into the 80 election, and one of the places he went to was the burned out Bronx, which, well, you would kind of think that if you want unfriendly territory, that's the spot, but there he was.
Well, that's the whole thing. President Trump, under his leadership, work with historically black colleges and universities, not any constituency that necessarily voted for the president, but they worked in good faith, and we were able to do things to stop a number of HBCUs from failing because of some of the financial debt that they had. We was able to forgive it. And then we were also able to, for the first time in history, create some guaranteed funding for those institutions. Now you're seeing many of those institutions flourish because of that bipartisan effort. And this is the same thing around criminal justice reform. The president was focused on safe communities, but we realized that just having a lock 'em up approach without having a second chance approach, we're leaving individuals who could be rehabilitated behind. And we can work with those individuals to create safer communities. And we did that. We worked with Alice Johnson, as well as leaders from the outside like Kim Kardashian and Van Jones. And we were able to lower recidivism rates. And recidivism rates is basically the possibility that you would go back to prison after leaving prison. And we lowered that from 40% down to 12%. So it's a huge percentage of individuals who won't be doing crime anymore and now are productive citizens. And that allows for our law enforcement officials to focus on these violent offenders. And so, yes, you have to have these bipartisan approaches, and you have to kind of build trust and do the work. And part of that is showing up, being able to listen and building that trust.
Talking with Jerron Smith, who, along with Chris Pilkerton, are the co-authors of Underserved, Harnessing the Principles of Lincoln's Vision for Reconstruction for Today's Forgotten Communities, underservedbook.com. Jerron's on X at JerronSmith04, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Focusing, as you do, on education and the workforce opportunities, what are the challenges? Because it's easy to offer someone a program to sign up for and you don't have to make an effort, whereas success only comes about when you do make that effort. But if you've been devalued, or at least feel devalued, by being underserved, how do you fix that break?
I mean, the biggest thing is the trust part. I can't overemphasize that, because getting both sides to work together, the biggest reason why they don't work with each other is because of trust. And it takes a bit. That's the hardest thing, is kind of sitting down, seeing the things that you may have in common, and trying to see how we can get those things done. And we were able to do that on the criminal justice piece with Hakeem Jeffries and Doug Collins. And and the Senate was able to work with Dick Durbin and Senator Grassley. But it took us, in a very retail manner, working with the whole House and the House of Representatives and then the whole Senate in order to get common ground to help push that legislation forward. And so that's the work we have ahead of us. What I outlined in the book, along with my colleague Chris, was areas that I see common ground, because I've spent some time working with American mayors as well as governors throughout the country. And almost all of them care about public safety. They all care about figuring out how you economically empower the community and care about creating jobs. And so let's meet this moment there, put politics aside, and empower American communities.
And not just on the federal level. We're here based in New Jersey. We saw Governor Chris Christie, a Republican, and, you know, he could be a gruff bully at some times, but he had to, and I think successfully, worked with a Democratic legislature.
That's exactly right. And honestly, I just went to the National Governors Association and started doing some work with Governor Murphy on mental health. Mental health is another issue because as you can imagine, post-pandemic and locking people down, as well as children not being in school, has created this paradigm where a lot of individuals aren't doing productive activities and instead are committing crimes. And some of them is because of the mental health trauma that they've gone through from the lockdowns or generational trauma that has been passed around. So if we can work in a bipartisan manner, just like the national governors, and work with local mayors to create infrastructure to get people the help they need, and also freeing up our law enforcement for being the social workers in these communities. And so we have to take a nuanced approach, and that's what Underserved really speaks to, that we need to take that nuanced approach, which is not just right, not just left, but something that's actually going to galvanize communities, bring back civil society, and create the right public-private partnerships that's going to help revitalize all underserved communities in America.
Just to wrap up here, I think a plan has the best potential when you can sum it up with one word, which you and Chris do. Just wrap up with maybe 30 seconds. What do you mean when you lay down as your foundation intentionality?
What I mean is work with the end in mind. Think about outcomes, not just spending money just to spend money, and not assuming that people could just pull themselves up for their from their bootstraps. Look at the issue at hand that's plaguing these communities. And the issues that we've determined to be the issues are more than just one thing, you know, which is why we got to take a holistic approach. Look at education, look at resiliency, behavioral health, community safety, and economic empowerment, and then develop holistic solutions that can actually meet the problems where they are and help drive our communities forward.
Book is Underserved, Harnessing the Principles of Lincoln's Vision for Reconstruction for Today's Forgotten Communities. Co-authored by Chris Pilkerton and my guest today, Jerron Smith, underservedbook.com. You can follow Jerron at X at JerronSmith04. Jerron, thanks so much for the work, the awareness that you are raising, and the realistic potential you make everything, you present everything as being, and hopefully you guys did your work. Now it's up to those in the elected seats to either pick up the ball and run the touchdown, or get out of the way, because they're going to get run over when the community demands and the answers aren't received. Some people wind up looking for new jobs, and it might be those elected people. Jerron, thanks for being here.
That's exactly right. You know, teamwork makes the dream work, and I appreciate you taking me on to the show. And I look forward to continue to push these issues forward, and let me know if I can ever be helpful.